Welcome to Backyard Oasis, a podcast designed by and for older adults living in the beautiful Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts and produced in the tech studios at Greenfield Community College in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Backyard Oasis reaches out to older adults who seek knowledge to help them live more thoughtfully, healthily, and happily, who hope to inspire others with their ideas, and who serve their communities in the interest of the greater good.
Hi, this is Judy Raper, Associate Dean for Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College. And we are here to do, I believe it's part five of Spilling the Tea, our reality TV podcast. And I'm joined here by my podcast partners who will introduce themselves.
I'm Mackenzie Shanahan from Indiana, a mom of two, and just living my best reality TV reality life.
I'm Jessica Navala. I am from Irving, Massachusetts. I am Judy's longtime hairstylist, and I am just living off all of this reality TV to get through our winter, which has finally showed up.
And did you enjoy my hair essay?
I did. I love the family. The family comment was my favorite.
Mackenzie, did you happen to see this?
I saw it, but I didn't read it, so I will need to do that.
Well, so this is a very quick story. So one of my students came to my office the other day and he said, I have to do this survey for class and I think it's right up your alley. Do you mind doing it? And he drops this piece of paper on my desk and it's asking me to respond to questions about my relationship with my hair. And it's like, what is your long-term relationship with your hair? What is your relationship with your hairdresser? What do you like or not like about your hair? Well, given my hair obsession from like early childhood, it was very therapeutic to write this essay. And so I shared it with my Facebook followers, or my Facebook friends, I should say, not followers. And I did include a part. So I was talking about how my mother used to make me sleep on these really hard rollers when I was young. And I referenced your grandfather in this, although I didn't say his name, because we went on a vacation once to Black Lake, Michigan. And George talked my mom into letting me sleep without the rollers for a week. And then when we got back home, mom's like,
that's terrible.
But I had complained to George. I'm like, they're so painful.
And he came to your rescue?
He did. He said, Mary Jane, while we're at Black Lake, she is not sleeping
that's
on those rollers.
That's hilarious.
So I just want to, again, disclaimer, we know there's really important stuff going on in the world and in our country. Please do not let reality TV distract you from being informed. Be a responsible reality TV watcher, as I know I am. So, with that disclaimer out of the way, do we want to start with Southern
humor?
Okay, I think that's a good
place to start. I have to tell you, I was covering my face for most of it, like this.
Yeah.
And for the podcast, the listeners who don't know visually what I was just doing, I was covering my face like, this is so painful. It was like a car crash that I wanted to look at, but I couldn't, but I wanted to. Like, just watching Shep, actually, sad note, I took joy. Okay. Yeah, Jessica knows. I take joy in watching him cower down, and she's playing him like a fiddle, like a fiddle. And I'm here to listen for the music.
Right. Yep, it was I was just cringing the whole time. And I just feel like I wanted to stop, and it was embarrassing. And I don't know. This is what I have to say about it. This is just from years of watching Southern Charm, my opinion. I feel like Shep is somebody who has never been told no. He has always been put on a pedestal, thinks he is better than anybody he's ever dated. And he finds this person and it's like his brain cannot wrap his head around the fact that she is just using him. And just, yeah, it was really just... And it's almost creepy to me. I just feel like just really creepy. I don't know. It was creepy to watch.
Yeah. When he's like, oh, she'll help me get dressed. And he goes, okay, well, I'm going to put this on. And you tell me if you like this outfit or not. And then she leaves the room. He's like, whoa. It's like when I tell my kids no to a candy. Like, I'm like, okay. But okay, now are we? And let's talk about Craig, who is the villain of this season.
Well, wait, we have to go back
Wait,
to
hold on,
Shep
but
for a
this
minute.
is all.
Okay. Oh, this is related.
Keep
Okay. All
up.
right. Okay.
Listen, he is the one who, from that moment she walked in, was like,
Yeah. No.
oh, no, this is
Yeah.
not right.
Yeah.
Like, okay, now what about what's happening now?
What is happening now? They're not together at all,
No,
right?
but do you know Sienna's now doing podcasts and she's
Yes.
now
Yeah.
making her part of the story known? I think it's all.
Well, okay, so a couple questions. Like, and I am no fan of his, although I, like, you know, I have not watched since like season one or two. So I didn't see his whole relationship with Taylor. I don't know why she's so bitter. I didn't see any of that. I just don't know his backstory enough. So I'm just watching it as this like rather new objective, I guess, viewer. Why did she invite all these people to the island when she had no intention of having any kind of relationship with him? Like, it does make her look a little bit like someone who's just trying to get on a reality
Well,
TV
right,
show
because
and
they
date.
did know that she was already a fan before she came on the show. It was known. They did mention that briefly. There was the chatter of which I know we'll get to, but on the Raya app where her and Shep connected, apparently her and Whitney had some sort of a moment. It didn't seem like it was what was being portrayed on the show, what reality was, according to Sienna. But yeah, I do. I think it's just her getting her 5 seconds. You know what I mean? Like,
She's claiming, though, that she did not know Whitney and Shep were on Southern Charm. She's saying her grandma was a fan of the show, but that she did not know they were on
okay, so
Southern Charm.
I
I find
don't,
it a little
right,
hard to
because I
believe,
don't
but.
want to jump too far into what our list of things to get to. But again, with the Raya app or Raya app, however you say it, to me, that's always
Raya.
been a known app for potentially hooking up with a celebrity. And you yourself have to go through like a rigorous application process.
I
Yeah,
read
like
about
you have
that.
to have X amount of followers. You have to
That's
have a
so gross.
following, right? Like, but you have to kind of like bring something to the table, like not just be like a Joe Schmo that apparently like they have standards. So to me that
Questionable
like, right. So
standards.
to me like being on this app, you're hoping obviously,
You know what
yes,
you're
right.
doing.
And like you wouldn't Google somebody, like everybody's coming from somewhere. Like they want to know where you're
Right.
from.
Well, I want you to know that I did look up the text that he sent her that he was bragging about the morning after he reconnected with her. So Alex, you'll like this. So okay, so this guy basically went, this woman is Miss Bahamas. Like, she literally was crowned Miss Bahamas. She's stunningly beautiful. They had a very, very, very brief relationship. She ends up inviting him to and all of his friends to the Bahamas. They show up and it's clear she has zero interest in him. Zero. It's crystal clear. There's no gray at all. Zero. The next morning, he sends her a text that says, "Good morning, Sienna. Listen, I love seeing you and no one else makes me feel the way you do. No one. But I'm not going to try to convince someone that they love me for 3 days, especially when I know that deep down they do. Here's hoping that you understand my feelings and exalt them. I just don't feel this way almost ever. I know that you agree and feel a lot of what I do because I've heard it from your perfect little freckled lips. And those around us can say and think what they will, but we will have the last laugh. And we'll have love, laughter, and everything that matters. Okay, my TED talk is over." Question: does he know what exalt means?
Yeah, I think he does run in a fabulous circle. That is a very famous Housewives quote, just dropping that real quick. He does come from a very privileged family that they go to the ritzy schools. And so I think he has been known to use quite the vocabulary.
But exalt was not the right. He's asking her to exalt his feelings, which means to like put them on a pedestal or something, versus maybe maybe his feelings, do they resonate with her, might have been a better
I
way to
don't know,
capture
Judy.
that.
I
I don't
think
know.
he very much meant exalt his feelings,
The
especially because,
pedestal.
and
Yeah.
he's not going to convince somebody that they love him when he knows that they do. Again, like
How
you
could you?
cannot accept the reality and in your mind,
Yeah. No.
it just doesn't make sense.
Baffling, and it's so obvious in all those scenes where she gets with the girls and she's like, finally, I'm at the fun table. Like, ew, ew.
Yeah, it's so like so obvious she is not into him, and it's And to me, I also thought too, like inviting them to the Bahamas. So I thought maybe she was going to invite them to like her home. Like you'd see more of that. And it's like, they're on like this brand new resort of Nassau, Bahamas, like the Baja Mar.
She doesn't even come to the airport.
But she was supposed to host like a fishing trip or a fish dinner.
Fish fry, yeah.
And she that was too much for her.
So. Yeah.
I know she said, I'm just not feeling
saying
it.
She was sick. She hadn't drank in a while. Maybe it was something she ate. Like,
All the telltale signs of she had to get out. But I did see on a podcast this morning, just a quick little clip that she didn't realize, which again, this is a telltale sign as well. Classic move. She didn't realize that this would get so much camera time and that this would be such a topic of conversation on the season, which again, playing dumb thing to me. It's like, we'll see, especially
Yeah, I'm not a fan of hers, to be honest. Just that limited, she does not seem like a person
and
I'd
going
want to
back
hang out
to
with.
What you said, Jessica, about that app, people on the app are known to be getting with these type of reality stars.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the app blew up or became with Ben Affleck way back when.
Oh, yes.
With that crazy thing.
See?
Ben Affleck.
I had never heard of it. I was listening yesterday to two teas in a pod, except that one of the teas was not in the pod. So there was an alternative tea, which was Trishelle, which no magic between Trishelle and Tamara. There was no chemistry whatsoever. But they kept talking about Raya over and over and over again. And I was in the car, so I made a mental note to check out what Raya was. Had you heard of Raya? Oh, my gosh. It's like a dating app for the elite. It's
the
gross.
Bougie Christian mingle of the rich. So we don't belong. Nope. And I don't want to belong.
Yeah, Kelly Osbourne apparently was like, this is the most disgusting app. Somebody who could have qualified for the app was disgusted by it. So she's elevated in my eyes. Exalt Kelly Osbourne.
There you go. Yeah, ew.
All right, other Southern charm we could talk about Craig and Austin's relationship.
Yeah, I mean, just ew. I guess it's that gender role of like, they're so, normally the girls are the one that are like, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Like in that last scene, did you see that, Jessica, where they were like at the table, it was a little dive bar or something. And he's talking about Sienna and Shep, which is obviously what they're supposed to be doing. And then Austin just gets so upset that he mentions her and what we all see that she's doing. I just don't understand and then he goes on the beach with Madison and he's like, he just doesn't like me. And it's like, I think that's true, right? Because he can't do anything right.
No. And I think, and I think there's probably some level of, I don't know, maybe has a little bit of jealousy of Craig. Like, you know, he's successful. Well, at the time he had, you know, he was in a good relationship. Although Austin seems to be like in a good place with his relationship. But I don't know. I kind of also feel like you said, like usually we see females like on the show that get in these little tough tiffs or whatever, and that they get really emotionally involved with each other. And so, like sometimes as we all grow up, we grow out of friends sometimes. And I think that just might be what's happening right now. Like Craig and Austin had their purpose and their place at one time, and maybe they're outgrowing each other. And maybe it's Craig outgrowing Austin, and Austin is trying to like accept that or face the music on that. And I think that, I think Austin's at the point where he's just going to find every little thing he doesn't like, because he can't get Craig to just agree with him on anything or just put effort into their relationship.
Or go to a bar with him. Again, I think we touched on this last time. It's what Craig, he's growing up. I mean, what? They're 40-something years old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. About, I think, time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so baffled by it. It's gross to watch.
Oh, no, I have a different perspective on this. I'm Team Austin on this one.
Okay.
You do, but give us your opinion. We want to hear it.
And maybe it's because I'm often the person who's friends with people who are in relationships and have been on the other end of the sort of the change that happens when somebody gets into a relationship. But when Austin...
Sorry, I'm open to it. Okay, let's listen, viewers, listeners.
So when Austin came to Craig and basically said, I miss you. I want to hang out with you more. We're just working together. I'd like to have more friend time with you. And Craig was basically like, this is my backyard. You can come here anytime. I will never go out with you. I'm busy. I have a life. It felt like he wasn't really hearing what Austin was saying, which was, I miss you. Austin was just saying, I miss you. And I feel like that's sort of been the theme throughout. And let me tell you this. Right now, they're thick as thieves because Paige and Craig broke up. Craig is back to single status. He needs Austin again. So according to everything I'm listening to and reading, they are back to being thick as thieves. So he dumped him while he was with Paige, and now he wants him back.
Yeah,
and
but
I hate that.
Why? Why, though? Because what does he want Craig to be doing when he was in a relationship with Paige? He wanted him as a wingman. He wanted him at the bars. And now he's single. And where is he going to be? At the bar. So I think.
Well, I didn't understand that he only wanted him at the bars. I didn't necessarily.
He said, we're doing a podcast. We see each other for our podcast. We work out together. They're doing a show together. Judy, read between the lines. He's growing up. He has a bit.
I don't know why I like Austin. I do. And I honestly felt like with the whole thing with Sienna, like, yes, he needed to be told the truth. Yes, he needed to understand what was right in front of his eyes. But I thought Austin being a little more sensitive about it was kind of like he was. I could not be that curt with a friend the way Craig was. I would have been more like Austin, like, dude, I don't think she's into you, but, you know,
call me,
still
because I will
guy.
Be that way. What is, no, you got to tell your friends when things are not right.
I'm not saying you don't, but I think there's a way to do it. Craig was just downright rude. He was accurate, no question, but I didn't think he was very sensitive to Shep's feelings.
Judy, it is Shep and Austin, the biggest playboys, trust fund.
Yeah, see, I don't have that history.
So I do think that, yes, like I do think that Austin, though, I will say I agree with Judy a little bit, but I do feel like Austin has a little more like emotion behind him. Like I do feel like he has these intentions to be good. He just doesn't know how.
I do too. I think he has some sensitive, like he has some depth.
Okay, maybe I'll give you that. But
like I just look at this picture here. Speaking of Southern Trump, him and Madison. I would have never in a million years thought they'd be going to brunch together, ordering shots and bottles of champagne and like being like BFFs. Like that's growth.
Okay, that is growth. But can we talk about that?
I know it's weird, but it's growth.
Can we talk about that? I just like, I love this. This is maturing. This is growing. I get it. But also, lines have been crossed between them. So I don't know if I would love, hey, Michael, why don't you head to the bar with an ex that you dated for a long time on reality TV, knowing parts, you know, like, what? No.
Maybe it's because it's on camera. That's why her husband probably
feels, I can see that.
He can't catch, you know, they're not going to catch him doing anything naughty if it's going to be filmed for the whole world to see.
Well, that'd be good TV now. I do agree. But I was also kind of like, oh my gosh, things. I don't know. But I support that.
Well, and I think too, like we don't see the timeline of events. Like we just see there's this episode that all of a sudden they're having brunch together or whatever. Like we don't know what happens behind the scenes. We don't know how much time is spent, what's led up to this moment. So like, we're just getting that glimpse. So it's like, oh, like, yeah, this is different.
That is true. But also, how wild in all the episodes that now Madison is our voice of reason and is trying to bring the sides. Like, it's all baffling. And did we even talk about her big news?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Madison's big news. Oh, yeah. I did hear that. See, I don't know anything about her. And this season has not helped me get
yet. Now, this is a good connection. Talking, because we are going to talk about Summer House and Lindsay being pregnant. Mm-hmm. Can we pause and talk about the aspect of that changes things, right?
I would think.
Well,
never had the experience.
But
do
you know
what
I'm saying, Jessica? Like, we're only in one episode of Summer House and just her being pregnant.
Two.
Okay, yeah. See, I don't even know. It's been so boring so far. Just feel like that adds a different element. You know, what's next Southern Charm going to be if she's with a babe? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think, to me, I think it's, I don't know that I like Lindsay being on Summer House pregnant. You know that next, or this summer, wherever they're going to film, that she is not, like, I guess, how does she do, like, she's not going to be able to do that.
Yeah,
being a mom, like a newer mom, it's just not going to work. and it's awkward, and it is a little bit weird to me. It's not the place for, like, being pregnant. Like, I wouldn't want to be in a house where everyone's just partying every weekend and drunk. Like, it's just not my vibe. But I know it's for her. It's a paycheck, and that's what I feel like. I see Lindsay as a hustler. Like again, so she made this a pregnancy announcement, and within minutes, it's going on Instagram. It's like, they're like, "What did she do? Have it in her pocket?" Mm-hmm. Like, it's like literally, she had.
And she used the same language. She had like
verbatim.
She had, okay, when she, I want to talk about Lindsay, but just back up Mackenzie for a second. I think it's, my take is, it'd be easier to introduce a baby into Southern Charm.
Right, because they're in their home environment.
Because Southern Charm, they all live in their own houses. Right. They all, you know.
Yeah, because, yeah, okay, yes.
And she is already a mom. Like, Madison is already a mother on the show. We see Hudson. He makes appearances.
She has a kid.
She's married. Same thing with Leva. She's got her family. And so there's, it's like their day-to-day lives. Yes. And summer house to me is like, this is what you do when you're young. You rent a house with your friends on the Hamptons in New York City.
Or if you're in your 40s, too.
You're all young.
I'm sorry, is 40s not young?
Yeah, very young.
To live in a house for a whole summer and party, I
think
40 is
on the weekends,
little,
they go. Like, so during the weekday, they're in New York City and they're doing their day-to-day jobs. And then on the weekends.
Oh, I don't think I realized.
Yeah, so it's
that.
Only Thursday to Sunday.
Because they don't keep showing that. They don't keep showing them showing up again and again.
They used to do like it more, but yeah. So sometimes, like, because it shows them driving into the city.
You just see them unpack, and then you see a season of partying.
Yeah, because they work hard all week. They work hard. What's the tagline? Monday through Thursday, they work hard, and then Friday they got to unload.
But you do. You see, like, Sunday, because they talk about who's driving back with who to the city, Sunday, especially like.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And like, why are they arriving like a day later? Some of them, because they've got other commitments or things like that.
You know how when you're watching a reality show, it sort of takes you into another reality show. Like if your episode ends and the season is like, if you've watched the last episode that's available, all of a sudden it'll start a new show. Well, Winterhouse started showing up for me. Oh my God. And I was so excited because Stowe, I've spent so much time in Stowe, Vermont. I will go find that house. I'm sure it's not that hard to find. I love Stowe, Vermont. I used to nanny 10 miles from there, and we spent tons of time. I used to take the babies to Ben and Jerry's over and over and over again and pretend like we were from a different state, because they would always ask, where are you all from?
That's hilarious.
I didn't want to say Moortown, Vermont. Anyway, that show is awful. Like, there's literally nothing but the partying and the destroying of the house, which was so disrespectful.
Right. And that's it. It's 2 weeks. It's filmed over a 2 weeks span.
2 weeks, yeah. 17 days, I think.
So they're just also, Kim, it was good the first two seasons because
I think I watched
it. It was like all our favorite Bravo people, but that is where I saw a side of Craig where I was like, ew.
Absolutely. And where Austin was pleasant.
Okay, I'm not going to get on that bandwagon with you, so you ride that alone. I'm doing that.
All right, should we jump to Summer House and Lindsay's quote-unquote announcement?
Wait, but wasn't it wild to see it in real time, how she told the group, and then she was on her phone, and she was sending it out to her PR, and then it just, like, how wild that was to see it happen.
Gross.
Right.
Well, I was just thinking, like, when she was talking to, was it Gabby that she was talking to beforehand, when she was kind of anxious about it, and when she said, this is the most important speech I'll ever make in my life. And I thought, how many speeches have you made? Like, I can't look back at my life and say I've made a lot of speeches. Like, sometimes I'm called upon in work to make public comments, but I don't think I make a lot of speeches.
She makes speeches,
and
honey.
She just what other topics about which has she given speeches in her personal life?
A lot of speeches, as in conversations. But okay, that was wild.
And then the 8 years ago, well, I mean, it was crazy.
Well, and that was the speech you gave. I could have given you a better speech. Why did we have to go through all your mistakes to get you to here? I could have given you cliff notes of what you've done wrong.
Oh God.
And then that big picture of the ultrasound.
I know.
She put the picture of the ultrasound on the mantle of the fireplace.
Carl walks in and there he is.
And then her ex walks in the next day, and the picture, the sonogram or whatever it's called,
is
there.
We have to discuss that. What is that?
Well, do women think that they're, when they, because I've never been pregnant. So do people think their ultrasound shows something, like, that shows their baby's features in a way that I'm just not seeing?
Well,
Like, does it look like a actual baby?
That one did.
Like, is it? Does it? Okay, Alex is nodding yes. So maybe I'm missing something.
I mean, at first, you know, it's a little dot, and then it does start to look good. But I just
start to look good.
You know, cute. But I just feel like that was a move to keep it on the mantle as like, here, Carl, here's my baby.
It's pretty obnoxious.
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
Wait, but can we talk about where they finally connect? Wait, okay, I'm jumping. I'm getting excited. Okay, what do we need to talk about?
Well, no. You could, I think, I mean, are we done with the speech? And then Carl shows up the next day.
Okay, so Carl shows up the next day. He's so nervous. Like, that was interesting to see, like, they broke the wall.
He should have been.
Absolutely. But when they're in the kitchen and they finally talk, and he says, hey, Lindsay, congrats or whatever. And then for her to say the line about, remember last year at the basketball court, I said, this summer we might have a baby. Like, what? Like, what? Yeah, like, it's so, even at that dinner, Paige was literally like, when she said, good dinner, Carl, or something like that. Like, what? Like, it's just so nonchalant. Like, last summer we did this. You guys were engaged. You were planning this. And now here she is pregnant with another man's baby, and he's just eating his pork chop. Like, I don't know if I can get with it. Yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah, I just think that again, like, I think Carl's another one that should be off the show. They need to replace him with somebody else.
He's pretty boring. I mean, I guess you're willing to wade through a lot of discomfort for money and fame, I guess. I mean, what other
or either that or he's just buying his time. Because again, like saying, like, I can't imagine Lindsay's going to be on the show next summer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they're going to work that unless she's getting her own house.
Yeah, baby's not going to work on Summer House. No way. There's no way. Unless she just stays home every night by herself, which.
No, because who wants to go?
She's going to be home-gamed no matter what. If she leaves baby every weekend, I'm judging. If
I mean, no. Right, like bringing in the house, no.
No.
Leaving every weekend,
so the baby was born in December.
No.
I'm echoing. The baby was born in December. So by summer, the baby will be yelling.
No, that's when fun. That's when you're starting to sleep again. You're getting your groove back.
I don't think she needs the money that much. Like, I think she's doing just fine. And I think that she needs to hang it up.
Okay. But that leads me to one more thing. Okay. These are all good connections. You said, Carl, he's got to go.
Yeah.
I think needs to go. But like, think about the Lexi girl, the new girl.
Oh, can we talk about that?
Can we talk about the fact
can we please talk about
that? New blood, but then when they come, I'm like, ooh, honey.
Oh, no. We don't need that kind of
new blood. Dye down the lip liner and be a normal human.
So do you know who she used to date? So she dated David Beckham's son.
Okay.
Cruz? Is it Cruz?
She was on Raya, I bet. I bet she's been on Raya.
She's on Raya. She dated Cindy Crawford, Presley. I have it written down here. She's been all around Raya. Brooklyn Beckham. She dated him, and she dated Presley Gerber, who is Cindy Crawford's son. One of them she dated while he was dating somebody else. But anyway, she, like, if you go through her Instagram and kind of look at her history, and when she was like, I just love boys with a lot of teeth, and he has so many of them. How could he have more teeth than anybody else?
He's got like
everybody has the same number of teeth.
He's got like a smile. His mouth has a big presence.
And then the comment about her is her middle name. Last name was Lexi Wood, and he was like, "Is your middle name gives me?"
Yeah,
I know. And then she still
was bracing
was interested.
For that. Because I was like, where is she going to go with this?
But see, guys, Bravo, poor little Bravo can't win. Because when they give us new blood, we eat them up. And then when the old people are boring, we want them gone.
Well, her poor friend Bailey, who apparently leaves midway through the summer because nobody's talking to her, paying attention to her.
Poor Bailey. Did you read what she was doing? See? Austin Defender, you got to read the other side.
Well, I didn't like the way they treated her on the show, for sure. They acted like she didn't exist.
They edited it that way because she was sending, like, what was going on in the house. She was sending it to, like, tabloids, bloggers. She was, like, the inside. What?
Oh.
She was a mole?
And they had to let her go because it got so bad because all the things were getting leaked out and it all came back from her. And when they sat down to tell her, hey, you got to back this off, she didn't show up, and so they had to let her go. So I do agree, in that first episode, I was like, this poor girl, what? She doesn't have enough lip liner on to be acknowledged? And Jesse Solomon's like, wow, you're beautiful. Oh, what's your name? I'm like, oh my gosh. But it is edited on purpose. That.
Well, I mean, that happened, yeah. Clearly.
So we don't feel that bad for her. You, again, these newbies go in and they're either cool, which I don't really know if we've had a cool one, like a calm one.
No, but I think you need.
I don't know who the newbies are.
Right. Besides. Like, I think they do need some fresh blood, though, because I'm not going to sit here and watch another summer of Sierra and Paige just laying in friggin' bed all day.
I'm tired of that.
You got to do something.
I know. We got to move. It's like, I want a spinoff of the oldies, but I want something new.
Yeah. And then Kyle, I mean, I love that Kyle and Amanda seemingly are in a better place in their marriage, and he's growing up and coming home earlier. Yeah, he still goes out, but he's home earlier.
2 a.m.
Yeah, I still feel like, yeah, like, again, so is that what's going to happen now? Like, he's going to start being lame too on the show because.
No, actually, I am most interested in the way the dynamic has always been Amanda and Kyle, and Paige is like the spokesperson. She can tell them things in the friend aspect, but I think we're going to see. Remember
I've been reading the text message.
Yes.
It's about Hannah, the old school, the OG Summer House cast member.
Now, that will be interesting to see Amanda, who she drives me a little bonkers, because at the reunion, she comes and she does her little side comments and her one little jab. But then the rest of the time, it's like you have nothing else to say. You're just mute. I mean, I guess if you're married to a man like that, but ugh, I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to have to move us along because we're at like 35 minutes and we haven't even talked about any of the Real Housewives. Okay. And there was a lot. Beverly Hills is getting kind of interesting. You're not happy with it, Mackenzie? I think it's getting kind of interesting.
You would. Huh? We're opposite today. I'm for Again, it's another Bravo show where the oldies are kind of going and they're bringing in new people that just want to get in there and the drama. And I'm not feeling it, but...
Okay, so, well, I mean, Mackenzie, to be fair, let me be really clear about something. I can't stand almost any of these people that are on these shows. I don't like any of them. So the bar is super low. So I'm literally, when I say I like Austin, I'm talking about someone I don't just despise. Like, it's not as if I'm like, you know, like writing him letters and telling him how much I support him. I am.
Yeah.
So on Real Housewives, I did find the visit to Reba's, because we all have mothers. We all have relationships with our mothers that are complicated. Yeah. Everybody, mother-daughter relationships are complicated. I did find that whole dynamic and those conversations to be
kind
of
interesting. That was
interesting, yes. Now, it made me very grateful for my own mother. to be honest, I think they were trying to make Reba seem somewhat a sympathetic character by the end, and I just couldn't get there. But I will say, and this is probably one of the few housewives I could say this about. I really like Garcelle.
Yep.
Is that her name? I could hang with her, and I thought I loved what she tried to do on Sutton's behalf.
Yes. But she was shut. Reba shut her down hard.
Mm-hmm. Reba shut her down. Yes.
No,
absolutely.
But I do absolutely. Agree. My view on Garcelle kind of changed this last episode. I find it frustrating and annoying when, what's the new girl's name? Bose.
Yeah.
She's riding hard for Dorit. She's riding hard. And I get it. She doesn't know the history that they all had. But when Garcelle, Sutton, and Crystal were on the show together, and it was the three pack against Erica, Lisa Rinna, Kyle, and Dorit, remember? And they kept saying, they go so hard for them. They go so hard for them. And we're just left over here. It's all the same thing. She's riding hard for Sutton and Kyle, and Bo's is just helping Dorit out. Like, I don't know. What do you guys think? That drives me nuts. Like, of course, in a group of people sitting there, whether you have history or not, you're going to defend one other.
Your friend.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I don't know. That drives me nuts. And Garcelle's like, you don't need to, you know, I don't know. I've always loved her. I've always loved Garcelle, but I just felt that was a little...
I almost feel this actual physical relief when Garcelle walks into a room because I'm like, their sanity has arrived.
Okay.
I mean, she doesn't bring a lot of drama. She does bring, like, she is the voice of reason a lot of times. Like her.
Yeah.
But I do think she, Sutton.
I can't stand.
Sometimes you just can't defend her sometimes. And Garcelle always seems to find a way.
I haven't watched any of these seasons before with Sutton. So I'm not a big Sutton. The way Sutton treated the quote unquote help was disgusting to me. I make no apologies for Sutton. But walking into that party, sitting there for 40 minutes with Dorit not coming down, then Dorit trying to basically steal her purse if she didn't. I mean, there was a lot of weird
that
shit
was
going
very
on
awkward
in that party.
It was very Lisa Vanderpump, right or wrong. Oh,
really?
It felt very like I'm not going to be mad at you anymore, but I'm going to kind of jab at
you. Yes, she used to do that a lot.
Oh, she used to. Yeah, it felt very Lisa.
Yeah, Dorit's like my least
favorite. But you know what? Dorit has always drove me nuts. But you know what? Well, she's going through the same thing that Kyle's going. Why do they keep missing the mark? Why can't they bond together over heartache, a potential divorce, not a divorce, children?
Well, they kind of are.
Not the way they used to be. I used to love, they would drive me nuts.
Well, because they don't like each other anymore.
No, Austin Defender. No, I don't want that. I want them together.
Well, I'm just telling you, they don't like each other anymore. It's very
obvious. Can we talk about Erica being Switzerland? That is so boring too.
So I think Erica's, I heard this on a podcast and I kind of agreed with it. I think it was on Watch What Crappens. I don't remember. But anyway, somebody said, it's like Erica is in her last season and she knows it. And she's trying to show all the growth. Apparently she had a lot of therapy. She does. Talk about voice of reason, just not doing any of the crazy shit she used to do. So maybe this is her last season and she's trying to do her swan song in a really effective and healthy way. And then we're not going to see her anymore.
That would make sense.
Anything on New York? I did catch up on New York. I really that was pretty compelling TV, I got to say. Normally I'm forcing myself to watch these shows. New York, I was binging hours.
Well,
and
let's
hours
talk
and hours.
About that. Wait, did you watch the reunion?
I did.
Was there a third episode of the reunion? For some reason. Oh, okay, there's two. Okay, cuz I know I watched two, but I wasn't sure if I watched the last one.
So when you guys told me what went down during our last podcast and I was like that was no matter what the circumstances, that was not okay for Uba to say that. I stand by that. I think Uba and Bryn are two of the least likable house guests in the history of Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick a team, it would be Team Uba, I wasn't expecting that. 100%. Bryn is the worst.
The worst.
The absolute worst.
Well, and even at the reunion, it was still wild to see in live when they would say, Bryn, you said this. And she would go, no, I meant, something about Uba. Yeah. Uba, you said to Uba, I hope you shouldn't act this way for your boyfriend. He's going to leave you, whatever. And then they would bring it to her with the receipts. And then she'd go, no, what I meant was, I hope you live a long, happy life together.
I know.
It's like, where is the delusion? Like, what? I mean, it was just.
And they all forgave her at the end of the show. Like, that was bizarre. Like, they were like, we are never speaking to her again. And then 5 minutes later, like, we really love you. I'm like, what do you love
Uba,
about her?
When Uba, I think.
That was big
of Uba. Very big of Uba. I think a lot of it was probably like, this is a very hot topic. I need to be mindful of the viewers. I need to, play the right way in this game. But even Sai and Aaron were like, what are they doing? You know what I mean? Like, I think that was very big, but I also, she had to have been thinking show wise because she could have really done a lot of damage. But it's 100%. Also still wild to see all that she was saying. And then for her to sit there and double down and say, no, I meant, and it's like, roll the tape. Like we all see it. I was just, and sorry, side note. I feel like Andy Cohen is kind of slacking. Does anyone else feel that way with reunions? He used to go in and he used to go hard. And now it's like, what are you doing?
He went so hard on Rebecca.
Yes.
I was like, what do you hate about Rebecca? And then he went hard on, there was somebody else he went hard on in New York that I was like, why are you picking
him? I don't know, but
I can't remember.
You know when Jenna Lyons is telling you to be quiet and take accountability. Whenever Jenna Lyons talked,
Jenna, he I thought he was hard on Jenna.
Oh,
I did
about
think he was
her
hard on Jenna.
girlfriend.
The minute he opened up the show with Jenna and he was just drilling her, and I'm like, she's not the most problematic cast member here by any stretch of the imagination.
Kind of changing his tune maybe a bit, because he always starts with, well, let's set our intentions. No, don't set the intentions. I want all the drama and the yelling and the, you know, get that.
Oh, I think he goes for the drama,
yeah, I know.
Mackenzie. I don't think he's trying
know,
to like.
He used to let them kind of go a little more, but I felt like there was so much side talking. I don't know. I wasn't in love with it.
I thought it was a good reunion. I just thought it ended bizarrely. I don't know. I don't understand how they forgave her in that small window of time when they were so intent that this was
and
it.
And how sad for that Rebecca. I know nothing about Scientology. We don't have to discuss it. But even when she goes, okay, thanks, Rebecca. And she goes, okay, do I leave now? Bye, guy. Like, I was like.
She's not returning
to
the show.
I can't imagine she'd be asked to be brought back.
Definitely not. But I was like, could we not just say, have a blessed day, good job, anything? I was so embarrassed.
Well, that the prank that they pulled was bizarre. That prank where they pretended like Rebecca was.
That was.
Pregnant by somebody besides her husband to see if it would spread. Like, that is
okay, but who fell for it and who kept it going?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I know.
I'll be curious if Bryn comes back or not.
The one who has tarpal tunnel from stirring the pot.
Yeah. Ugh, I can't with that.
All right. So what have we missed? We're you know, I did want to ask you, Mackenzie, did you watch your cousin on Dateline Friday night?
Wow. I
no?
did.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a tough watch.
I was like, yeah. And I'm Dateline girl. I'll get with my reality.
I never watched it. I watched it for Andy.
So good. Jessica, do you know about the Delphi murders here in Indiana?
No,
two young girls. It was about 8 years
ago,
right?
Why do
Mackenzie?
I feel like
I think
this sounds familiar.
It was pretty internationally
famous. I think
if
you saw their picture, you would know, because that's what's been was plastered around, obviously, the victims. So I think it's gained like international attention.
Mm-hmm. Notoriety. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
So they covered it on Dateline because the trial has now ended. He was found guilty. He was sentenced to 130 years in prison. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot behind the scenes. I mean, this is Mackenzie's cousin, the defense lawyer.
Oh.
And my mom's best friend's nephew. So my mom was giving me the inside scoop for years on this, like telling me, here's what's going on. Here's what's happening behind the scenes. And I was following it on podcasts and online. And it was clear that many, many people living in Indiana did not think he was guilty and thought that the judge had made some critical errors and treated Andy and his team very poorly. Well, Dateline really portrayed it, I thought, in a way that made the defense team not look as competent as I think.
Agreed.
They
and
were.
Again, I watched my Dateline. Okay, so I get my reality relaxing, and then I get my terrified mom nightmares from Dateline. You know, it's kind of messed up. But so I know every episode. I know every case. And they usually do a very good job of the defense and the prosecution. They usually get quite the same bit of airtime so that they can both say their claim, or they go back and forth, you know, the way they edit it. But I didn't feel like they did that with them.
No.
But I
no, it was
anytime there's a murder case, especially with children involved, they want someone held accountable. And
right,
absolutely. Not always.
That's what happened in Indiana, I think, was they wanted someone accountable. They
and
found
they were like,
him,
here you go. But also,
yeah, it was,
can we
it
talk
was
about that
disturbing.
As well? I just feel like watching it anytime, like the fact that they were able to have so much evidence against him for not doing it, reasonable doubt. As that grandma sat there, she was saying, this is not closure. This does not bring girls back. Absolutely. It puts a pin in it, obviously. But it would be really a mental game to sit there and say, oh, he's guilty, but all these other people think he's not, and here's why. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that, he would be, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, my heart goes out to the family members, of course. And you know, and I think people questioning his guilt are not doing that in any kind of disservice to those girls. It's more about they deserve justice, too.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's, I mean, when mom was telling me everything going on behind the scenes, I'm like, wow. I mean, I, you know, I haven't seen Andy for years. But well, actually, I did see him a couple years ago. But I mean, I always knew him to be such a good guy, upstanding guy. And I can't imagine what he's been through.
Well, and we'll see, to be decided, because he's going to appeal. So we'll
see what that'll take a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the only thing we didn't get to, I think, that we might want to briefly touch on is we had talked last podcast about trying to like do a little pop culture. And I certainly think that halftime Super Bowl show gave us some fodder for pop culture discussion.
An A minor.
So, so thoughts on that?
I thought it was brilliant.
I loved it.
And I think, I think it's less one of those things where, you know, when it comes to a halftime show, you can't please everyone. Everyone's got different, loves different genre of music. But I think if you were really paying attention and you picked up on the double meaning of all of it, I think it was brilliant. Yeah. I think it was a great use of airtime and a platform that, you know, getting some great points across.
Yeah.
There were some super funny TikToks of old white people like Googling everything under the sun to try and understand it. And the next day my mom texted me and she's like, I want to understand this the halftime show. Like, get do some research for me. And so I did. So I did. So I learned what a diss track is.
Yeah.
And I learned and I was talking to my sister last night because I have a 20-year-old nephew and I have a 17-year-old step niece. So I was like, I need to talk to one of them tonight because I have this podcast tomorrow and I need to talk about. So neither one of them were, well, Drake was at college. So Lisa called Gianna and I talked to her briefly, but all she really could say to me was I'm on Kendrick's side. It was a great show. It's, you know, she did own that, like, there's not any hard proof that some of the accusations about Drake are true, but she was kind of like, where there's smoke, there's fire and there's tons of smoke here. So I don't know.
So I was trying to find, because he obviously accuses Drake of liking him young. Wasn't there a long time ago, there was a concert he had and he pulled someone on stage and was kind of like sexually dancing and the girl ended up being like 15 years old, but she looked older.
Yes. Yeah,
but like, obviously they didn't get a little background before they put this girl on stage. And so I think that was also like a red flag scenario. I didn't have time to look it up, but there was another thing too, where if you had Googled, like, you can Google people who are on a sex offender registry. And then there was like a picture of like an aerial view of like Drake's house. And it had like seven pins that there were like seven sex offenders in his house at one point in time.
Oh yeah. In his house. I thought you meant neighbors.
Like in his house.
That too.
You know, like, was that Google Maps?
Oh, wait, so the pins follow the people? Yeah, the pins follow the people around town?
I think it's like a specific website, because you obviously have to register yourself as a sex offender. And so it's almost like, you know, maybe insinuating that Drake hangs out with these, mingles with some of these people. So that, I think, but you're right. There is no concrete evidence. He's obviously sued his own record, because him and Kendrick have
company,
the same,
they have the same record company.
Not suing Kendrick specifically, but suing the record label.
The record company,
for
correct.
Allowing the song to go out and having these insinuations about him.
Yeah. Has Drake made a comment on it or no?
On the halftime show?
A comment on what?
On,
not that I have seen.
Interesting. I also felt like, okay, I thought it was great. I loved it, but I thought the Drake part took away from some of his other more political messages.
There were some interesting messages, and that's what was fascinating to me when I Googled it, was the flag, all the people of color wearing red, white, and blue, and the Uncle Sam being played by Samuel Jackson. That was fascinating.
Or Serena Williams.
And really important stuff.
But when he said, what was my favorite line? It's the right time, it's the right place. But
it's time for a revolution. That's something about the right time, but the wrong guy.
Yeah. Yep. I just think for anyone who doesn't get it, you're not going to get it. Do you know what
I mean? Well, it's an opportunity to be curious if people,
like
even though the TikTok videos were funny, like, I was like, good for them for being curious. Yeah. Like, because I was curious afterwards. I didn't understand all of it. Even the stuff that really resonated after I read about it, I didn't understand at the time.
Well, and I think I picked up different things. I guess it was like, I picked up on different things, like with the flag and then him being in the center, it was divided, like kind of a great representation of like the current climate of our country right now. But also diving further into that, just like talking about, you know, black people being like the backbone of America, like workers of America.
Yeah.
And just kind of like making it this big, like cultural moment, to just like show people like this is happening, like whether you think it is or not, or you don't want to see it, like here we are. And I just thought that that was like, I feel like him as an artist is he's always like a teaching moment. Like anytime that he can teach, whether it's in your face or not in your face, like, and I think that's great. It's not just the music. It's like, he's really trying to get a message out there.
Yeah. I have deep respect for that, especially when they took end racism out of the end zone, the NFL chose to take, which always is present in the end zone, those words. They replaced him with something sort of nebulous. So I respect that. I just didn't know what I was watching at the time.
Yeah, and like even Serena. I mean, so they had like SZA and Serena, who also formerly dated Drake. But then you have Serena doing the Crip Walk on show because she was like demonized for doing it after she won the gold medal at Wimbledon back in, what was it, like 2012 or something?
Mm,
so
I didn't know that.
Because it was like it's too black. Like you can't be doing that here, you know, and. So just like bringing that to the table. Yeah. I mean, it was just like all these little things that if you like know some of the history, you could pick up on it. But also, yes, like giving it a moment to just teach yourself, educate yourself on something.
There you go. Yeah, I agree.
Well, what a great way to end the podcast. Educate yourself.
We go from Austin
stay informed.
Kroll to educate yourself.
Well, more importantly, Judy being team Austin Kroll.
Okay, yeah. I want to clarify that.
I guess I'm never going to live that
record,
down. I'm getting a t-shirt.
Yeah. We've done good.
I'm getting. I got you, Austin.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, it was wonderful to see you all. We will maybe if you could stay on for a few minutes, we can make a date for the next one. What do we have coming up? Well, we didn't even get to Traders, but so maybe next time we'll have the winner of Traders by next time, so we can talk about that. Is Vanderpump coming soon?
No,
I don't know.
I don't know if or I the can Valley? Watch it, but I don't I'll try.
We got to like at least
we'll do it for the podcast.
Where's your commitment?
I've got to do it.
All right. Well, we're in the middle. Like I feel, you know, I kind of feel like when the NFL season overlaps with college basketball and blah, 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 I get so excited. I feel like we're kind of there with reality TV. There's a lot of good stuff right now that we're watching. I mean, and hopefully, I don't know when the Valley starts, but that's another one.
Okay. We have a lot coming up. All things.
All right.
Maybe that's
right,
her.
Well,
what's
have a
her
wonderful
name needs
rest
to go.
Of your day.
Christina, she needs to go on the Valley. It's all the pregnant family people got to go to the Valley.
That's true.
Relocate.
Yeah. We need to relocate.
Wait, who's Christina?
Am I saying her name right? Oh, Lindsay. Sorry, Lindsay. I don't know why I say Christina. Lindsay. Maybe she looks like a Christine.
Well, do you see that the rumor? Sorry, one last thing, Alex, before you push pause. that there's rumors about Lindsay Hubbard going to Real Housewives of New York.
I think those are absolutely just people wishing that would happen.
Okay,
I don't think there's
maybe.
Okay, well, there you go. I think that's a good place for her.
To be decided.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd watch that.
To be TBD.
I'd watch that. All right. Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
This concludes today's podcast. We're always looking for new ideas, so feel free to reach out to Judy Raper, Associate Dean of Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College at 413-775-1819 if you have an idea you'd love to share. Special thanks to the creators of Backyard Oasis, Denise Schwartz, Chad Fuller, Dennis Lee, and Christine Copeland. Have a great day.